أشكر كل من ساهم في عمل هذه المحاضرة، كانت محاضرة لطيفة جدا، أنا خليت لمسات الأخيرة عليها حتى تكون إن شاء الله في المقام الذي يليق بكم. أوكي
دكتور، يعني إحنا نعتمد على الشيء اللي تشرحها بس، يعني
شور
أنا ما عندي شيء آخر،
أنا ما ممكن أسألك إلا عن ما أتكلم عنه، وإن كان هذا لا يصح، لا يصح من ناحية تعليمية، أنت المسؤول عن الكل، والتدريسي مسؤول عن 60% فقط. إذا بقينا إن شاء الله. في نظم العالم في التدريس، التدريسي مسؤول عن 60% فقط. و40% هو جهد الطالب، لكن نحن نمر في ظروف لا تحسد عليها، فلهذا ما راح نطالبكم بال40. In the last session, I think we have finished talking about tactile sensation and pain sensation and the tracts mediating these two types of sensory modalities. You remember that tactile sensation is mediated through a tract, we call it as the dorsal column medial limbal system, which is characterized by passing through the dorsal column of the spinal cord. You remember? They pass all the way. Fibers mediating these sensory modalities pass all the way, without interruption, to the brainstem as a first-order neuron. From the brainstem, a second-order neuron will pass to the thalamus. We have discussed that in the last session. And from the thalamus, a third order neuron will start.
Cerebral cortex.
From the thalamus to the
cerebral cortex.
Good. As a result of this little number of interruptions, which we call as relay stations, not delay, Amar. Relay, what is delay? Delay. It is not delay, relay. As a result of this limited number of relay stations, the conduction velocity of these sensory modalities will be, what do you expect, to be rapid or slow? Would it be rapid or slow? Of course, as a result of having a little number of interruptions, relay stations, conduction velocity would be fast, would be rapid. Is it enough to have these few relay stations to produce high speed of conduction? It is not enough. What do you need more?
White dot.
Thank you so much. Very good. So the other option that we have is to have wide nerves that conduct these sensory modalities. Because wide nerve conduct at a higher velocity than nerve. You remember from your secondary school study that you have two types of neurons, of nerve fibers. One of them is called as myelinated because it is covered by myelin sheath. You remember that? Yeah. And the other type, having no myelin sheath, so they are non-myelinated or unmyelinated. In this case, the difference is in conduction velocity. What do you expect? Which one conducts at a higher velocity, the myelinated or unmyelinated? The thick myelinated nerve fibers conduct at a higher velocity than the small unmyelinated. Do you know why? In the myelinated nerve fibers, if you remember, this is the nerve fiber, and these are the segments of the myelin sheath. And here is an unmyelinated. No, this is myelinated. In myelinated nerve fibers, the nerve signal transmitted at the nodes. You remember around there? Nodes of around there? These nodes in between the pieces of the myelin sheath are called as nodes of around there. So the nerve signal will pass through these around there nodes. Means that it jumps from one nerve to the next and from the next to the next. Whereas in the unmyelinated, the nerve signal has to pass throughout all points of the nerve, taking more time than the first one, which is jumping from one point to the next, from the next to the third. So these are the conditions that facilitate nerve transmission. Number one, few relay stations. Number two, thick myelinated fibers. Okay? It remains to say something about the other type of sensation, which we call as position sensation. All of you now is aware of being sitting down. What tells you that you are sitting and not standing or lying supine? This is the brain again. The brain informs you about your position. How the brain is apprised about the position and the change in position. You are now sitting. After a while, you might stand up and go out of the room. So what will tell the brain that you are sitting now, not standing? There should be, as in the other senses, there should be sensors. There should be receptors that are specific to detect position sensation. What are these receptors and where are they? These receptors are present on the skin, the touch receptors. My feet now, the sole of the feet, is in touch with the ground. So that through these touch receptors in the sole of my feet, the brain is apprised that there is pressure inside these receptors. It means that I'm standing on my legs, not sitting on a chair. This is number one. Number two, if I shift from this place to the next one. In which way I'm going to shift? Through the movement of the legs. How the legs are moved? Through bending of the joints. So movement of the joints will stimulate receptors present around the joints. So these receptors that are distributed deep in the body, around the joints, again the brain will be apprised about the angulation of the joint. That means now I'm standing, but now I'm sitting. So the joints, the knee joints, the hip joints are now stimulated by this change in the angulation of my joints through the knee and hip. So through these two types of receptors, the brain is apprised and informed about the position of the body. Which pathway positions sensations in the hearing? It is carried through the same pathway of tactile sensation. What is this pathway?
It's
the dorsal column. The dorsal column, medial musical system, is the same pathway mediating position sensations. We have said at the beginning of the previous session that tactile sensation includes pie touch, pressure, and vibration. So how can we detect vibration? If you have a tuning fork, unfortunately I haven't. Probably some of you at least have seen tuning fork in the secondary school sessions of physics. Have you had? إذا تطرق على الشوكة الرنان وتضعها على أي مكان في جسمك تشعر بالاتجاه ولا لا؟ هذا هو vibration. Now, in order to perceive vibration sensation again the same way, what we should have receptors for vibration detection. What are these receptors specific for the detection of vibration? They are the Pacinian corpuscles, number one. The Pacinian corpuscle, you remember, it looks like what? The onion, good. The onion. Many concentric shells or membranes. This receptor, that's called the Pacinian corpuscle, what is the main characteristic of it? You remember? One of the characteristics of this corpuscle. How would you classify it with regard to adaptation? Is it rapidly adapting, slowly adapting, or non-adapting? The Pacinian corpuscle. I'll be back in physiology in this year. In this episode. So we have classified Pacinian corpuscles as rapidly adapting. This was in the last session. Pacinian corpuscle because it adapts very rapidly, within milliseconds. Believe it or not, this is true. It adapts within few milliseconds, so that when the corpuscle adapts, it means that it goes back to the resting state. When it goes back to the resting state, it means that it can be stimulated once more. Cannot stimulate any cell unless going back to the resting state, which we call the polarized state, when there's two poles around the cell membrane. Okay? The cell will accept no activity, not any activity, unless it is at rest. Thank you. So because of this rapid adaptation of the preceding corpuscle, we can accept new stimuli every few milliseconds. In which case, we stimulate the body every few milliseconds through vibration. So this is the first type of receptors that detect vibration sensation. And again, back to the same characteristic of Pacinian corpuscle, because it adapts very rapidly, it can detect vibration of a frequency up to 800 hertz. You know, this is the unit of frequency. Either we say hertz or cycle per second. Okay? It's not the only type of receptor detecting vibration sensation. There is another type of receptors for the detection of vibration sensation. These are called Meissner's corpuscles. This is another type of sensory receptor that is designed to detect vibration, but the difference between Meissner's corpuscles and Pacinian corpuscles is in the rate of adaptation. These are slower to adapt. Meissner's corpuscles are slower to adapt. It means that they can detect vibration of low frequency. They require longer time to initiate a new stimulus, so that they are designed to detect the low frequency vibration. The other thing to talk about is a phenomenon called as two-point discrimination. Two points. Okay. We will find if your colleague can discriminate that what touches his hand are two points or just one. You will start with the tips of the fingers. Chamberlain?
2 points.
Professor?
2 points.
Detected very easily. 2 points. Yeah.
2 points.
Just touch, no pressure. Once you apply pressure, you are helping, you are cheating with the subject. Finger as little as this distance, he discriminated as 2 points, whereas on the back. One point.
It's 2 points.
Yeah. One point. So this is as little as this, on the tips of the fingers, you detect it as 2 points. But on the back, as this distance, the last 1,000 meters will be 2 points. All of you, by Kisha. What does this phenomenon mean? means that the number of touch receptors which we are using in this test apply fine touch to stimulate the touch receptors. The number of receptors of fine touch on the tips of the fingers are highly concentrated, whereas on the back they are only scanty, they are only little. That's why the distance was about 6 centimeters before discriminating and detecting that there are 2 points because of the little number of receptors excited. At this point, we have finished talking about tactile sensation and pain sensation as general trends. Any question before shifting to the new subject? No question? The next topic will be pain. Before discussing the physiology of pain, I might ask you a few questions. Why do we have pain? Is it beneficial to have pain? Or just it is painful? Is it beneficial to have pain?
Sure.
Of course.
Because if we are in danger, we will feel it and...
Thank you so much. Right. So, to have pain, it is beneficial. Pain is a sort of alarm that there's something damaging, a damaging process, either in the surrounding or inside the body. When your stomach hurts you, complain of pain, stomach, means that there's something wrong, damaging inside the stomach. Or if it's coming from outside, from the surrounding, put your hand on a hot stove. Damaging process. So pain is an alarm about the damaging process, apprising the brain that this is damaging and injurious. You have to move the body away from the damaging stimulus. So this is the importance of having pain. Pain is of two types. All of you have the experience of pinprick, especially the ladies. Sometimes for sewing, she might prick her hand with a needle. The type of pain we perceive in this case is sharp. The sharp pain lasting how long? For a very brief period of time. So the first type of pain is sharp, and because it takes short period of time, this might be called as acute. Acute, sharp. Or sometimes the grandmothers, minimal جدة في البيت. جدة مع في البيت. How old is she? The grandmothers use a scientific term to describe sharp pain. If you remember, when you listen to the grandmother, she might talk to you about her complaint and pain, and she described the pain in a scientific way by saying يلمع. سمعين هذا الاصطلاح من الجدات ولا لا؟ يلمع. This is lighting. Lighting pain to indicate that it's sharp and acute. So by all of these terminology and nomenclatures, you can call the first type of pain acute, sharp, lancinating, and lighting pain. The other type is the slow pain. This is the fast, taking place after 0.1 of a second. after applying the painful stimulus, you will perceive this fast pain after just 0.1 of a second. Whereas in the other type of pain, sometimes you complain of headache. You have attended two sessions of physiology, neurophysiology, that's very testing, let me say, difficult to comprehend because of the term Hanad is not very successful. So you will get headache. Okay. But headache is not sharp. It is not acute, it's not lighting, not lancinating. You might start headache from the classroom and it continues up to 4 p.m. complaining of headache. So this type of headache or pain is a slow pain, lasting longer period of time. So in this case, you can call it as chronic. Slow, chronic. Sometimes you can call it as burning or nauseating. So by all of these names, you can call the second type of pain, which is a slow pain. Because we have two types of pain, presumably there should be two types of nerve fibers. One for each type of pain. For the fast pain, what do you expect? The nerve fibers mediating fast pain. Would it be myelinated or unmyelinated?
Myelinated.
Thick or narrow?
Thick.
Very good. Very good. You are awake. For the slow pain. Unmyelinated and small. Small unmyelinated nerve fibers for the slow pain. So the types of nerve fibers mediating fast pain is type A delta. Type A delta fibers that are myelinated and moderately thick, not thick, having a conduction velocity between 5 and 30 meters per second. Whereas the slow pain is transmitted by nerve fibers of type C that are small and myelinated, having a conduction velocity of 0.5 meter up to 2 meters per second. Of pain, there should be two types of nerve fibers mediating these two types of pain. Now what about the pathways? Again, there should be two different pathways for each one of these two types of pain. By logic, what do you expect? That the tract mediating the fast pain, having many or few interruptions,
few.
Sure, sure, in order to be fast, there should be few interruptions, few relay stations. What about the slow pain?
Many interruptions.
Again, in the slow pain, there should be many interruptions. That's why it is slowly conducted to the brain. In the brainstem, as usual, almost all sensory modalities have a relay station in the brain stem. What for? Anybody remember?
Waking.
Yeah, you are right, you are right. to them, then how would you sign up? In the brainstem, there is the center that's responsible for keeping us awake and not sleepy and drowsy. This center needs to be excited by sensory stimuli coming from the surrounding or from inside the body, so that almost all sensory modalities have their relay station in the brainstem. What for? To excite, to send excitatory impulses to this center. Excited. That in turn excite the brain, and the subject will be alert, conscious, awake, so that he can comprehend and understand. Okay? The very simple and good example for these relay stations in the brainstem for pain pathways is the question that if you have a patient complaining of pain coming to you on call, the طبيب خطف و خطارة تبدأ الساعة 6 مساء إلى السادس صباحا اليوم التالي وعليك قش من الناس ما بين 6 والعاشرة مساء بحيث تكون 4 4 5 5 الناس مستعجلة دائما بعجالة بعدها يبدأ القش يخف ساعة واحدة يمكن ما يضل حي تبدا تاخذ شويه راحه واذا تطرق الباب عليك تظن دكتورك مريض تقول له المريض راسه يرجع شوف قلت له يا فاتر نظره ما حصلت معي ما جابوا لي مريضه البيت ساعة واحدة ونص الليل تشكو من ألم في المعدة كوليكي بين سبير كوليكي بين شو صار له هذا الألم؟ قالت مضر How do you respond? مضر أنت وين كنت؟ أنت كطبيب ما تقدر تقول هذا بس في نفسك أكو فرق شيء يعني burning. When can you think about this? This is our point. Anyway. So was it possible for such a patient to go to sleep with pain? Impossible. Why? Because of these relay stations and the brainstem mediating pain so that they are continuously apprising this center and making the subject alert and awake, so he can never go to sleep with pain. So what are we going to describe to this patient? Are we going to prescribe to him an analgesic drug to relieve the pain, or to give him a hypnotic drug to induce a sleep? Which one? Analgesic, number one. Or number two, hypnotic drug. One or two?
Two.
One or two?
One.
You have to relieve the pain. The subject will go to sleep normal. If you ignore the pain and prescribing hypnotic drug, it's useless. بس ما يدخل الوجع يصير دائما الوجع يروح يعني يطلع من عندك ام حسين كنت بواحد صرت باثنين about the You remember the analysis, the integration of the sensory signals take place at all levels of the central nervous system, from the spinal cord to the brainstem to the brain, to the higher brain, I mean the cerebral cortex. But the difference between these levels of integration is in the details of processing. At the level of the spinal cord, the processing is only initial, it's only mild, very simple, to indicate that there is a certain type of sensation on one part of the body. At the level of the brainstem, a bit more detailed analysis. But at the level of the cerebral cortex, full details of the sensory signal will be given, including giving meaning of the sensation. Is it pain? Is it thermal sensation? Is it hot, cold? Is it fine touch? Is it vibration? And so forth. Where is it? You can now highly localize it. You can put a needle on the point of sensation to indicate that at this point, highly localized. Okay? You can give the character of the sensation. Whether it is, for instance, if it is pain sensation, you can describe it as colicky, or dull pain, or stab wound, for instance, or pinprick. This is describing the character of the pain. So this is the difference between the different levels of integration at the different levels of the central nervous system. Now, pain receptors, as usual, in order to perceive pain, we have to have pain receptors. These pain receptors are free nerve endings. There is no spatial and sophisticated receptor, as in the case of fine touch, in the Meissner's or the Bessinian corpuscle. Regarding pain, the receptors are fine, naked, free nerve endings. Where are they distributed? They are distributed immediately under the skin, superficially, immediately under the skin. Is it the only place of distribution of pain receptors? You remember that. I have said that in the previous session. Yeah, sure, sure, thank you so much. There are pain receptors inside. That's why we can't complain of abdominal pain. Okay. It indicates that there should be pain receptors inside our bodies, in the viscera. But what is the difference between somatic on the skin and visceral pain receptors? In the number. In the number of receptors. They are highly concentrated on the skin. Whereas in the viscera, they are only scanty, they are few. That is why this phenomenon enables the surgeon to cut through this small or large valve in an awake patient without inducing a significant pain in this patient. You remember the patient, the old patient of 70 years old, who cannot withstand general anesthesia and is in need of operation to open the abdomen. How you deal with this patient? You have to induce local anesthesia, to instruct the anesthetic to induce local anesthesia so that you can cut through the abdominal wall and do what you want to do, what the patient thinks for. Regarding adaptation, how would you classify pain receptors? Slowly adapting, rapidly adapting, or non-adapting? Slowly? Non-adapting. Sure. Very good. Lovely. Lovely. Again, my logic. أنا يعجبني دائما استخدام اللوجيك. استخدام اللوجيك يخدمك في كل الاتجاهات. أولا ما يخليك تيه في إجابات، أنت عندك إجابات حاضرة بس متعددة ومبعثرة. حتى تصل إلى الإجابة صحيحة دايركتلي. يوديك إلى الإجابة الصحيحة مباشرة. By logic, pain receptors are non-adapting. Why? By logic. For the pain, we have agreed at the beginning of the session that pain is an alarm. Pain is an alarm. About what? About the damaging process. So if the receptors, the pain receptors adapt, means that there will be no alarm. The damaging process might continue on, destroying most of the body without the patient's unaware of that. تنتفي في الحاجة منه. هي حكمة الله سبحانه وتعالى من أن جعل هذه الريسبتورز نون أدابتيف. Visceral pain is different from somatic on the skin pain. That sometimes you might listen to somebody who is talking about pain on his left arm, especially in elderly people who are more than 60 years of age. Pain on the left arm. Yeah, thank you so much. So this pain is a pain induced by the heart. Where is the heart and where is the left arm? There is distance separating the two structures. So this is what we call as referred pain. Referred. What does the word referred mean? It means that pain can be perceived, can be felt, and just on an area of the skin that is away from the organ that causes the pain. The very good example is the heart pain. I want you, all of you, to put it in the back of your mind that the pain of the heart arising from the heart might be referred to the left arm, especially the inner surface, or the left shoulder. An elderly man might be presented to you complaining of pain on the left arm or left shoulder. Just a moment, yes. If you think it's superficial, as the pain of muscles, and if you don't prescribe someone a drug and send him back home, he might pass on the way. Why? Because you are unable to distinguish that this pain might be arising from the heart. So put it in the back of your mind that heart pain is referred to the left arm, especially inner surface, left shoulder, or the neck, or the lower jaw. All of these areas are referral signs of the cardiac pain. Okay. What we call this type of pain as referred pain. Is it superficial, somatic, or visceral? Which type that refers?
Visceral.
Visceral. The visceral is referred to the surface of the body. I'm sure that all of you have had an idea, at least, about appendicitis. What's appendicitis? Good. Appendicitis usually affecting young children. The first complaint of the chant is to complain of pain around them, like us, like a region, pain of this area. Then the child starts nauseating and vomiting. If the case is not diagnosed or ignored as fast as it's a colic pain, after a couple of hours, pain will be localized over the side of the appendix. Where's the appendix? On the right eyelid fossa. On the right eyelid fossa, so that in this case, the pain would be localized in the right eyelid fossa, which is very simple to diagnose now. How is the beginning? Why it is around the umbilicus and not on the side of the appendix in the right eyelid fossa? Visceral pain, or the viscera in general, are covered by two membranes. What do we call these? Parietal and visceral layers of the peritoneum. The visceral layer is in direct contact with the viscous. You cannot separate it from the viscous. Okay? This is the viscera. Whereas the parietal layer of the peritoneum lines the abdominal wall. The interior of the abdominal wall is lined by the parietal layer of the peritoneum. At the beginning of any ailment in the viscera, which one, which layer would be affected first? The viscera. The visceral layer would be affected, that is in direct contact with the viscous, the painful. Okay. This visceral layer of the peritoneum has got autonomic innervation. That is very difficult to localize. Sensory signals mediated by the autonomic nerves are very difficult to localize. That's why the child would describe the pain as umbilical region, the umbilical region. But after a couple of hours, the inflammatory process will spread from the umbilicus to the nearby structures until it reaches the parietal layer of the peritoneum. When it reaches the parietal layer, involving the parietal layer, then in this case, the pain will be localized to be felt on the region of the umbilicus at the right eyelid fossa. But before this time, it will be vague. It will be poorly localized. So keep, again, this point in the back of your mind, that umbilical region or pain in the umbilical region might be because of appendicitis. So you have to keep the child under observation for 24 hours until either prove appendicitis or disprove appendicitis. Okay. I think we have to have a break before we start discussing the subject of headache, so that I will not induce headache to you. Yes, please.
What's the pain? Diaphragm arthritis.
Diaphragm
arthritis.
Diaphragm? The name diaphragm.
Should be
diaphragm. Third pain of the diaphragm. Layered area on the skin to which the pain of the diaphragm refers to. No, this is not the diaphragm. This is not pain from the diaphragm. Pain referred to the neck is the cardiac pain. This is one of the referral sites of the cardiac pain. I said that this is the inner surface of the left arm, left shoulder, neck, and lower jaw. All are on the left side. your money. What else? Producing these lectures. هذه ليست جهد طالب واحد فقط. إنما جهد عدد من الطلبة واللي حريصين على أن يشتغلوا ويتعلموا. هذا هو جهد الطالب. الطالب تبدأ يفكر في واحد. أنت من دخلت في الطب أصبح وقتك ليس لك. وقتك الآخرين. ليس لك الطالب. وبعد التخرج بعد تصبح ليست حتى من أهلك. نعود للهدف ولا بعد وقت؟ نعود؟ والعود رحمه. So the next topic to talk about is heading. Headache is another type of pain affecting the head. It is a type of referred pain from the intracranial structures that are sensitive to pain, and the pain is referred to the surface of the head. So what are these sensitive structures inside the brain, inside the cranial vault, inside the cranium? What do you think? A painful structure. The meninges, number one. The blood vessels, number two. The venous sinuses, number three. The temporium, there is a shell inside the cranium. To separate the cerebrum from the cerebellum. This shell is called as the temporium, which is again a very sensitive structure inside the cranial vault. So then these are the sensitive structures inside the cranial vault. Meninges, blood vessels, blood sinuses, and the temporium. Stretching, or damaging, or inflammation of any of these structures will induce pain. This pain is referred to the surface of the head. Pain arising from the upper surface and above of the temporium will be referred to the anterior half of the head, Whereas pain arising from the lower surface of the tentorium and below would be referred to the occipital region of the head, on the back of the head. So if somebody is complaining of head on the back, headache on the back of the head, you immediately remember that this headache is arising from the lower surface, probably, and downward. If it is felt on the anterior surface of the head, then it is arising from the upper surface of the tentorium and upward. The blood vessel means venous sinus. Surprisingly, the brain tissues, the neurons, I mean, are insensitive to pain. Brain that tells you, that informs you about pain is insensitive to pain. If you will be a neurosurgeon, inshallah, Mustafa, had to be a neurosurgeon, you will find that under conscious, with local anesthesia, you can open the cranium and deal with the brain. You can't talk to the patient, but the patient will respond. But you'll find that the patient is complaining of no annoying pain when dealing with the brain. Indicating what? That the brain itself is senseless to pain. Among the other structures that are senseless to pain is the parenchyma of the liver, liver tissues. Parenchyma of the liver are again insensitive to pain, as well as the alveoli of the lungs. These three structures are insensitive to pain. Brain tissues, the neurons, parenchyma of the liver, and the alveoli of the lungs. Thank you so much. What about the extracranial structures? Again, they can complain of pain. So now it's time to talk about the extracranial headache. It might arise from which structure? Outside the cranium. At least some of you have got once upon a time sinusitis. You know sinusitis? They have a jubilant fear. Alhamdulillah. So these nasal sinuses are extracranial. When they are inflamed, the mucous membranes lining these nasal sinuses are painful, so that they can cause pain. But they are extracranial. Any other structure that's painful outside the cranium, especially those wearing glasses. Before using glasses, possible to read for a long time without any complaints? The lens system of the eye. The lens system of the eye will try to focus on the letters so that you might find the subject with refractive error doing like that. So that this is the other painful structure in the head, extracranial, which is the eyes. The special mandala, there is refractory error. Any other structure that's painful? Yeah, right. But you like the muscles. The muscles on the head. Well, these muscles are set into spasm. Spasm is painful. Especially when you are anxious and worried. This is especially so with ladies. Ladies are so worried for everything. The Israel, you'll be worried and anxious. أسئلة والعمل والنظري. So this abnormal emotional condition will set the muscles into spasm. And spasm is painful. So that you will complain of headache because of spasm of these muscles around the head. As a doctor, your primary responsibility is to relieve pain. How pain is relieved? In the brain, built in, inside the brain, there is a system that is responsible for pain suppression or pain relief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala خلق the pain sensation. لابد أن يخلق الكاونترپارت ضد كل شيء في الطبيعة له ضد. What is the counterpart of pain is to have pain suppression system. This pain suppression system is to suppress pain. It consists of three main parts. Number one, a group of neurons gathered together to form nuclei. These nuclei are arranged around the third ventricle of the brain. Inside the brain there are ventricles, spaces. These spaces are called ventricles. Around the third ventricle there are collections of neurons. From this description, the name that can be withdrawn from this description is the paraventricular. The paraventricular nuclei. So this is the first part of the analgesia system, the pain relief system. The paraventricular nuclei, also together with these nuclei, there are another group of nuclei arranged around the aqueduct joining the third and fourth ventricles. Let me show you in this figure. If this is the third ventricle, and here is the fourth, this duct joining the third and fourth ventricles of the brain is called as the aqueduct of Salivius. Salivius is a neuroanatomist who first described this duct. These are the groups of nuclei present the first part of the pain relief system. We call it as the analgesia system. The paraventricular, around the third ventricle, and those around the aqueduct of salivus, the periaqueductal nuclei. The second part is a group of nuclei between pons and medulla. At the upper surface of the medulla oblongata near the pons. So this is the second part of the analgesia system. First is the paraventricular and periaqueductal nuclei. The second is this group of nuclei called as raphe-magnus nuclei. The second part is raphe-magnus nuclei. The third part is low down in the spinal cord. In the dorsal horn of the spinal cord, there is another structure that this is the peripheral nerve mediating pain from anywhere in the skin. At its entry point, at its entry into the spinal cord, the third part of the analgesia system is located. So what do you call this complex? As the dorsal inhibitory complex, which descend from the raphe-magnus nucleus or nuclei down to the dorsal horn of the spinal cord in the form of small interneurons. These small interneurons are what you expect, again by logic. This is the pathway of pain. If you allow it to pass high up to reach the brain, and the brain will perceive that this is a pain sensation. In order to block this sensation, what they should be? At the entry point of the pain signal in the dorsal horn of the spinal cord, there should be some mechanism that blocks the passage of pain signal higher. What do you expect? This little neuron, we call it interneuron, to be excitatory or inhibitory. Respond even if it is wrong. Respond just. What do you expect? To be excitatory or inhibitory? What response? Out of the coverage area.
The mantle.
في أي مكان هناك analysis. أتتمنع هذا الأنسل؟ أقول تمنع أنا مسؤول. فهذا small inter neuron. أتوقع يكون inhibitory ولا excitatory. Biology, very good. From the name, dorsal inhibitory complex. So these are the three parts of the analgesia system. The paraventricular, preaqueductal, nuclei, the raphe-magnus nuclei, and the dorsal inhibitory complex. شوف العظمة في الخلق. ليش كانت هذه في هذا المكان؟ At the very beginning of the pathway mediating pain. هنا يتوقف. من أعطيت فرصة مجال يروح. حصلت perception. حصلت integration analysis. The pain signal. The subject will start perceiving pain. هذا كانت في هذا المكان بالتحديد. وبذا. راح السباع وراعي التوفيق الأخير عن thermal sensation. يا أخوان اللي يريد روح عن ما عاد نمشي رجال stress. So, what about thermal sensation? Thermal sensation includes both warm and cold. Warm sensation and cold sensation. In the same way, in order to perceive thermal sensation, what we have first, what we should have, receptor. Thank you so much. We have to have receptors first. What are these receptors? Are they the same? Would you expect the same receptor to detect warm and cold? Or they should be different? Two types of receptors. Problem. Sure. There should be two types of receptors. One specific for detecting cold sensation, another for detecting warm sensation. Those that detect cold sensation, they are isolated histologically. Histologically, they are isolated and found to be similar to the pain receptors. There are three nerve endings. Whereas those specific for the detection of warm sensation, they are not isolated histologically. So we are in doubt about the presence of these receptors. Anyhow, we can perceive warm. But how? Still, it is questionable. What about the distribution of these receptors? They are distributed immediately under the skin. Immediately. Unlike the pain receptors that are distributed superficially in the skin. What about the concentration? Which one you perceive more? Cold or warm?
Warm. The same.
Which one you perceive more? Warm. No. نحن حساسين أكثر لل cold, the cold sensation. أيضا biologically. ماذا تتوقع هذا الاختلاف في الحساسية؟ ينجم عن اختلاف في ماذا؟ The number of receptors. Wow. Thank you, Rita. Because we perceive cold much, much more than warm sensation, this indicates that the number of receptors for cold sensation are much greater. They are 3 to 10 times as many as warm receptors. Cold receptors, as many as warm receptors. What about the distribution on the surface of the body? Is it even or similar to the touch, fine touch receptors, as we have seen with the sham? In the same way of distribution of the fine touch receptors, thermal receptors are distributed. They are highly concentrated on the lips, to a lesser extent on the fingertips, and to a much less on the surface of the body, especially on the trunk. هناك behavior حتما شايفي بعضكم على الأقل ladies في امرأة ترضع طفلها رضاعة صناعية قبل أن تعطي الباطل للطفل ماذا تفعل؟
حط على إيدها
To check the temperature of the bottle. What they usually practice? To put it on
lips.
To put it on the lips. Why? She might be a housewife, but she's practicing a scientific behavior by testing the temperature of the milk through the lips, because you can tell her that this is a scientific behavior, because the lips has got the highest concentration of temperature, much greater than the hand. There are about 25 temperature receptor per square centimeter on the lips, whereas on the fingertips, only 5 times greater. The way how thermal receptors are distributed on the skin. Cold receptors are much more, 3 to 10 times as many as warm receptors, number one. Number two, they are highly concentrated on the lips, 5 to 25 cold receptor per square centimeter on the lips. Whereas on the fingertips, there are only 5 cold receptors per square centimeter, much less on the trunk. What about the nerve fibers mediating thermal sensation? They are the same nerve fibers mediating pain. Cold is mediated by nerve fibers of type A delta, myelinated and thick, to be transmitted rapidly to the brain. Whereas warm sensation is transmitted via type C fibers, small and myelinated, slowly conducting nerve fibers. Through which pathway? We have discussed that in the previous session, through the spinal thalamic tract. Temperature sensation is mediated to the brain through the spinal thalamic tract. And again, they are interrupted at the level of the brainstem. What for? To apprise the excitatory center of the whole body, the brain. That's why, in winter nights, if you are cold, is it possible to go to ولا مس الحر يغلي 45 درجة حرارة وتشوف نايم إلا إذا كان كلش إذا كان عراقي العراقيين الوحيدين اللي في مثل هذه الظروف higher than the brain stem you will be in the cerebral cortex. Again, in a similar way that at all of these different levels of the central nervous system, thermal sensation can be interpreted and perceived. But again, the difference in the details of this integration.
Thank you so much for your patience.